I invite you to go on a journey. It is a journey towards regaining generational health. My journey began when I met my wife in college. She was studying to be a nurse. I was studying the Bible to be a youth pastor. Interestingly enough, God used both of these degree programs to guide us to where we are today, but in the most unusual ways. For me, God used my youth ministry training to convince me that youth ministry was not a biblical way to minister. I left that program seeking household and multi-generational ministry models. My wife appreciated much of her education, but left her study seeking basic answers to health. She would often be frustrated by the lack of wisdom applications. She also found herself facing the rise of some autoimmune diseases, including lupus and thyroid issues. She had very low energy at times and was facing the beginning signs of poor health in her early 20s. We both consumed a typical American diet, full of some very good food along with generous portions of junk. My face looked like a pizza. I had severe seasonal allergies. Both my wife and I had our tonsils removed. We were developing various fungus reactions, etc., etc. But we were young and in love, got married, and began having children, which we passed some of these problems on to them. But as we grew together, we began to develop a principled way of viewing health and stewardship. These are principles that have blessed my family, along with many others, as we have shared these. Remember, as we talk about principles, it's the basic fundamental principle that matters. As we have wisdom then, and the encouragement is to have wisdom in how you will take these principles and apply them in your family, in your situation, and make wise decisions. We're going to look at several of these principles during this talk. The first principle, which is the most important, it grounds all other principles for health, and that is that God is sovereign over giving health. He is good. He grants life. It is rooted in God. God says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, "Now see that I, even I am He, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any other who can deliver from my hand." God is the one who grants us health. He kills. He makes alive. He heals. He wounds. It is God. Psalm 103 says, "O my soul, and all that is in me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles." Thus, we must look to God for healing and health, to be good stewards of the gift of life God has given to us. That means that we can trust in God to grant healing and health. This is foundational, for it sets an expectation for God to guide us, and that would be according to His good and His sovereign will. There are several ways in which God deals with His children according to their health and healing. The first would be, God may choose to bring a direct and miraculous healing. God is the great physician, and He can heal, like in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. "And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of His garment. For she said to herself, 'If only I may touch His garment, I shall be made well.' But Jesus turned around, and when He saw her, He said, 'Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well.' And that woman was made well from that hour." It was an immediate healing. We read in the Gospels of immediate and complete healings. God can choose to give immediate and complete healings. He is a good God, but God is sovereign in this. It is His decision. We simply ask. That is the first way, and that is often the way when we pray for healing, and we should. But there's also other purposes that God has for sicknesses and for health issues. God may choose not to heal. He may use the sickness for His purposes. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." So you see, this thorn, it was as a sickness, it was some kind of disease, a thorn in the flesh, in his physical ailment Paul carried. "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So God may choose to give you physical problems as a thorn in the flesh to keep you humble. God may do this for His sovereign purposes, as He did with Job. Job 1:8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" And of course, Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? And the story of Job unfolds. That information is given to us so that we can see that the trials that happen to Job are according to God's sovereign plan and for God's sovereign purposes. We would not have known that had God not told us in the opening chapters of Job. So it is today. These things happen for God's purposes and for our good. God may choose that certain conditions be met before He will heal. As in the case in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 13, "And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the sayings of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." See, that was an issue dealing with pride. Go and dunk yourself 7 times. Oh, I can't do that. Sometimes there are conditions. God may choose that certain conditions be met before He grants healing. In other words, there are things that God does for His purposes. John 9. "Now Jesus passed by. He saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered," it's very interesting, "He said, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him.'" So sometimes God chooses physical ailments to humble us, to cause us to meet certain conditions, to want to keep us in a certain condition, or maybe simply to bring glory to Himself. So God can bring direct healing. God may choose not to heal for His purposes. God may choose that certain conditions need to be met before He brings healing. But the most common that we see in our day, God may choose to grant you wisdom to live according to His principles. Exodus 15:26 states, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So here's a case where God says, "I heal you," but I heal you in a context. And the context is you're diligently following me. God says, "I will grant you physical healing as you obey my word, as you keep my precepts." So God does grant wisdom, and that wisdom brings healing. This is very important for us to remember, because oftentimes we disconnect the prayer of faith from the answer of faith if God chooses to give wisdom. Sometimes it's that path of wisdom that God wants us to discern and to follow so that we can gain healing. Now, not always. This is according to God's sovereign plan and purpose, so we submit this to Him. Isaiah 38:21 is another example. Now, Isaiah said, "Let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover." So here, make a poultice of fig leaves. Place that on the wound. That's the condition. That's the principle. Have wisdom. Use the creation that God made, take advantage of the healing properties that God put within, in this case, fig leaves, made into a poultice, and put that on the wound, and he shall recover. Now, as we go through these principles, we must remember, in all health concerns and stewardship choices, there must be an absolute commitment to walk out obedience to God by faith. All things are to be done by faith. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake them. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So you shall find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. The byproduct of walking in wisdom, as described in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8, is health to your body. It is the byproduct of wisdom. And so I ask you a very important question. Are you trusting God for your health and life stewardship choices? Are you living by faith? Are the health principles of God's Word guiding you? God grants life. God is sovereign in this. If you have faith, you will also have principles, truths, precepts that inform your faith. This leads us to the second principle. God gives wisdom. When God gives wisdom, his wisdom must be received and applied. That's what wisdom is. Proverbs 1:7. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here, there's a bifurcation of response. There's two responses. Either you get it or you don't. By the fear of the Lord, there's wisdom. Fools reject wisdom and instruction. There are those who trust God and seek his wisdom, and there are those who reject God and refuse his wisdom. There are always at least two schools of thought on every issue, but they are fundamentally opposed to one another. There is the one that is rooted in the fear of the Lord, and then there is the other that rejects the fear of the Lord. When we talk about wisdom as it relates to health principles, we must ground this in the fact that God is good, that God is the creator, that God made creation with purpose and design, and God designed us to know and to grow according to his truth, according to his design. Therefore, man can investigate what God has made and discover God's design and use it for his good and for God's glory. This is the role of true science. True science investigates the design of God and follows it with wisdom, patterns after it, takes advantages of the healing properties and design within creation, and harnesses and uses them for God's glory and for the betterment of mankind. Secular humanism is opposed to this. Evolution states we came here through random chance. Therefore, there is no purpose. There is no design. There is no truth. There is no healing properties within creation. Or maybe there can be, but it's in a New Age type context of evolution, which is skewed by the purpose and design, some impersonal force. The conclusion is man can manipulate materials and information and sell them to make a profit on the one hand. On the other, you have your New Age movement, which seeks to work within creation but not find mastery in it, and ultimately ends up worshiping it. Wisdom stays clear of both of them. Wisdom is skilled living, living a life consistent with God's truth. Wisdom is the principal thing, and all you're getting, get wisdom. A wise person lives in light of God's creative design. This wisdom includes giving your body what it needs to accomplish its God-given mission. As my wife and I began to tackle our health issues and seek the Lord regarding real answers, we found out there was a lot of perspectives on health. Many people have a very myopic picture on health, but we began to look at the bigger picture, and we saw that we lacked wisdom as it related to health. So we began on a journey to try to put the pieces together. We also began to see that we were not alone. Many of the doctors we would go to also, from our perspective, seemed to lack wisdom because they rejected the fear of the Lord. They were coming at health from an evolutionary perspective. Or many even Christians had their education from evolutionary schools. And so there was a disconnect, an inconsistency from God's created design and seeking to live within harmony of that to the manipulation that we see in an evolutionary context. We were willing to ask God and seek answers that were according to his law word, his law order. Then we came across a doctor who wrote a book Rex Russell wrote, as a medical doctor, what the Bible has to say about healthy living. And I like this because he was a medical doctor who sought wisdom from the Bible. This was many years ago for me. I never really heard anyone who did that. And furthermore, he laid out several principles that I'll share with you in a moment. Three principles that I found very helpful. These three principles are: eat foods God created for you. Don't alter God's design. Don't let food become your God. Pretty simple principles, aren't they? He went from the creation that God made food in Genesis 1:29. See, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree which yields fruit seed. To you it shall be for food. God gave us food. He gave us good food. Good food that was meant to eat. And so the principle here is eat the food that God created for you to eat. Fruits and vegetables, meat that is well-grown, clean meat, grain, healthy grain, not genetically modified, that goes against God's design. This principle is foundational. Remember, God really doesn't make junk food, does he? He makes good things that our body uses with a very little byproduct and very, very minimal, if any at all, negative effects on our body. Positive effects. Our body needs this. It's fuel for the body. So eat foods God created for you to be eaten. The second principle, don't alter God's design. That is, God's design is going to be superior than man's design. I mean, that's a basic contrast between humanism and theism. God's design is better than man's design. And so we see this in the creation, how God's creation, the things God made, are superior. So a banana is going to be superior in its nutritional value for you than a candy bar. God's design is always better than man's design. And so the idea is to encourage the consumption of whole food. Take, for example, butter versus margarine. And there was a big debate. You know, margarine was supposed to be healthy when it first came out. Well, it's like it's plastic, right? How can that be more healthy than what God made to be eaten? Butter coming from whole milk. God made superfoods. And we say, well, those are expensive. I tell you what, living here in Phoenix, we have the opportunity to grow tons of superfoods. We grow moringa, Egyptian spinach, pomegranates. We have all the cactus that produce various fruits, many of them which are serious superfoods. Wherever you live, God, except maybe Antarctica, God has given us the ability to harness the earth's resources and use these things. But we need to be wise and not alter God's good design in the manipulation. Many times things are manipulated simply for profit. The third principle is don't let food become your God. Okay? Many people are very wrapped up about food. I say, let's get wrapped up about the principles. Let's get wrapped up about a worldview. Let's worship God through wisdom as we eat. And whatever we do to the glory of God. You know, 2/3 of Americans are overweight, 35% of adults are obese, costing this nation $147 billion in 1 year. We have a problem with gluttony, with food addictions. White refined sugars, all these processed foods, you understand, they create food addictions. That's why we crave them. It's hard to get off them. I know. We were on them. My wife and I, we ate them our whole lives, and we had to get off them because it was destroying our health. God's people need to be free from the cult of food. Listen, food is a fuel. Yeah, it tastes good, great, you know what? But it's not only and always about my personal taste. It's about principles and how to apply these and walk in wisdom and fuel our bodies, so that we can advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. As my wife and I began to make choices based on these biblical principles, we began to feel and see the difference. Lisa, my wife, was able to reverse her lupus and ward off further thyroid problems. My acne went away. My face was new, and I look with amazement upon my children's faces. Their countenances are bright, and they have no acne. My family, for at least my extended family, many of them had severe acne problems. We were able to reverse many serious food allergies in our children. One of my children had such a severe food reaction, he couldn't even touch a carrot without breaking out in a reaction. Some of them had chronic diarrhea when they were younger. So we've seen the difference that just applying these simple principles made in our family. And say, how did we do that? Well, it was walking out wisdom principles. Wisdom is the principal thing. Again, I'm stressing to you, not our exact application. You take these principles, and how do they fit with you? How do they look in your life? Wisdom is the principal thing. It is necessary for physical health. Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, sadly, as we would look at some of these wisdom principles, and we were excited about some of these principles, we began sharing them with others. Sometimes people weren't as excited to learn about these principles. Some people were very interested, and some people would get downright angry. It's not my intention to make anyone angry. We were excited to see the link between the junk food we were eating and our diseases, our problems, our lack of energy. We were excited to be free from the consequences of our poor choices. I understand that not everyone is ready to see these connections. There's a lot of emotional reasons that people eat how they eat and family cultures and backgrounds. But I would ask that you'd be at least be willing to open to seek these things out. Be open to gain wisdom and understanding. By that I mean seek God in His principles, in His law order, and trust them as a starting point, and enjoy the journey. In other words, have an education reformation. What principles do you use to make health choices? Do you simply base them on your taste buds? You know, taste buds are great. God gave them so that we could taste food, but the taste buds are not the sole determiner of what we eat. Our mind would be. I'm making an appeal to your mind to use wisdom and the choices you make, not just lean on tradition. Ask the Lord on these. Seek these things. And I want to focus on this. It is your responsibility to seek this. It is your responsibility. Don't delegate it. Use it. Gain it. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It is your responsibility to seek wisdom. Now, wisdom is central in everything. I know that this is just health, and health compared to the gospel is more important, way more important. But health is important, but only as it relates to wisdom, living, and good stewardship. Educate yourself. It is your responsibility. If you're too busy to educate yourself on your health and the health of your family, you could be limiting your God-given stewardship. Okay. I think you got that point. Let's ask this question. How do I discern wise health counsel from all the various conflicting information? So you get out there and you get all this different information. It's hard to discern what is the right information out there. And then my starting point is wisdom. And it's this. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, all God's ways are good. God's wisdom is good. God gives good wisdom. Ask yourself, does whatever choice you're making in life, in particular as it relates to health, does it reflect wisdom from God? So in other words, the first aspect of discerning wisdom is to get wisdom. Everything should be guided by wisdom, and wisdom is good. Is it having a good product? You'll know them by their fruits. So you'll know it by its fruit. Is this a good result? Are the consequences good? Or are the consequences negative? Are the side effects good? If you eat an apple and salads and good wholesome meat and things God created your body to eat, it's good for your body. If you contrast that with all the I'll just call it what it is. This is junk food. You know, the side effects are they impoverish your body. That's what I'm talking about. Being able to discern these things. Okay, so that's the first way to kind of refine this. Let's talk about a discerning principle that is foundational. I call it discerning principle number one. Work with God's design, not against it. Work with God's design, not against it. And you could say that the ancient Hippocratic oath, do no harm. Every doctor takes that. Do no harm. The first priority, do no harm. It's kind of what we're talking about here. When it comes to health, you don't want to harm your body. You want to, from a Christian worldview, we understand it's not an impersonal force. It's working with God's creative design, not against it. That is, do no harm. This presupposes the God of creation. God is the creator. He's good. He made us. He made creation to heal. Therefore, we should work with God's design. Our bodies are healing all the time. The blood clotting factor, all these things. God's given our bodies so that they can continually heal. It's amazing. So as we go into the application of this principle, how does that look? How does it work? Well, let's take an area that is very common, cancer. The U.S. is in the top three nations in the world for cancer. So when it comes to cancer, how should we fight cancer? Let's take this principle. There's two ways to look at it. You can help your body fight the disease and not hurt your body, or you can hurt your body and hurt the disease. Kind of boil it down. And many diseases, you can look at almost any disease this way, and there's going to be a way that you can help your body fight the disease and not hurt your body, or minimally hurt your body, right? Minimally invasive. Or There's things that can kill cancer, but the problem is it also kills your body. And so on and so forth. So you understand where I'm coming from here. Let's think about it. Work with God's design, not against it. Let's make an application to cancer. Help your body fight the disease. Do not hurt your body, or hurt your body, hurt the disease. What I'm suggesting, that wisdom would go more in the application. Again, you have to make the principles and call the... I'm not getting in the specifics. You got to call the shots. But here's some wisdom principles that I would say. Give your body what it needs to fight the disease. That's a principle. The flu. How do you fight the flu? Give your body what it needs to fight the flu. Work with your body, not against it. The problem is the evolutionary perspective. And I'll just call it that because it's based not on this wisdom. It hurts your body, and it tries to hurt the disease. So in the credit, it tries to hurt the disease. And it'll use things like cutting it, radiation, chemotherapy, all things that bypass your body's already God-given mechanism to try to contain and rid the cancer. Now, there's many statistics out there, but the cancer statistics that I found are definitely prove this point. The cure rate for today's orthodox medicine for cancer is 3% or less, with each cancer case costing thousands and thousands and even hundreds of thousands in some cases. Now, get this. Most people die not from the cancer, but from the treatments to the cancer. To me, that does not sound like wisdom. That sounds like hurting your body, dying from what's supposed to be the cure. And this here is doctors in the field who say the same thing. Dr. Jones says this after analyzing cancer survival statistics for several decades. So here's a doctor, right? Professor of the University of California, Dr. Jones, Hardin Jones, says this, and he analyzed cancer surviving statistics for decades. Here's his conclusion: patients are as well or better off untreated. That's what he says. This is someone who's in the industry, and he says parents are as well or better off left untreated. In other words, he's saying that the if you go the orthodox medicine route, it does not look good. Why? Because it hurts the body. In trying to kill the disease, it also kills the body. He's saying it may be that you're better left untreated. Here's a medical doctor from UCFC in writing The Healing of Cancer. Alan Levin says, most cancer patients in this country die of chemotherapy. Chemotherapy does not eliminate breast, colon, or lung cancer. This fact has been documented for over a decade, yet doctors still use chemotherapy on these tumors. These are like, that shakes your head. What? See, we need an education reformation to get to the bottom of some of these things. And if you have cancer, do the work. Do the homework. In Ty Bollinger's book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box, he suggests this. A true cure rate of 90% or more can easily be achieved by cancer patients who avoid orthodox medicine, go with alternative medicine first, and do their homework. Now, that's a radical statistic. But what he's saying is that for those who give their body what it needs to fight cancer and do not harm their body, 90% live. For those who try and kill the cancer with methods that also harm their body, end up dying by 97%. So that's radical. I understand that. I know that's a lot to take in, but let's think. If that's even half true, what would you do? A good friend of ours had cancer, and she walked through it. Breast cancer, naturally, but by God's grace and God's grace alone. And she is cancer-free. She shrunk the tumor by God's grace. It can be done. I would just encourage you. I mean, there's a lot of hokey-pokey with the statistics. Any method that seeks to destroy the problem or at the same time does great harm to the answer is not the answer. And the statistics do bear this out. The percentage of cancer patients whose lives are predictably saved by chemotherapy, 3%. Conclusive evidence, the majority of cancers that chemotherapy has any positive influence or survival or quality of life, none. Percentage of oncologists who said if they had cancer, they would not participate in chemotherapy trials due to its ineffectiveness and its unaccessible toxicity, 75%. Okay, so 75% of the doctors say, I would not use chemotherapy. All right? Yeah, get this. The percentage of people with cancer in the U.S. who receive chemotherapy, 75%. So the medical community is giving 75% of the people in this country who have cancer chemotherapy. But 75% of those doctors would not use it themselves. Do you see the disconnect? 90% of chemotherapy patients die 10 to 15 years after treatment, and the cause is never attributed to the treatment. Patients who undergo chemo, and it goes on and on, right? Chemotherapy, it just... 68% increase in chemo drugs since 2003. 68% in chemo drugs. What is going on here? We're lacking wisdom. There's something going on here. And this is just taking one case. We need to discern these things. Here's another discerning principle. Along with working with God's design and not against it. The other major discerning principle is this. Treat the source, not the symptom. Treat the source, not the symptom. Makes sense, doesn't it? So spiritually, get to the heart. The Bible's all about, you know, give me your heart, my son. The heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4. But when it comes to health, we forget that. And we treat symptoms. Why do we get cancer in the first place? Why are we so sick? Autism was not even heard. Now it's 1 in 88 and increasing. 100 years ago, 1 out of 80 Americans were diagnosed with cancer. Now it's 1 in 3. The rise of autoimmune disease. More than 23 million Americans suffer from autoimmunity, which makes it the third most common category of illness in the United States after cancer and heart disease. Since the 1950s, celiac disease alone is up fourfold. Lupus rates have tripled. And type 1 diabetes have soared up 23% in the past decade alone. What is going on here? What causes sickness? What is its source? Can we live a life free from sickness? Well, no, not completely. Why? Because of the curse, because of the fall. We understand that. The curse is a constant reminder of sin. And we embrace that as Christians. But we can seek the Lord and be good stewards. And that's my heart. That's my plea. And you do that principally. That we can have wisdom to alleviate pain and sickness, to be good stewards for the quality of life, like Moses, Deuteronomy 34:7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Talk about, we don't want to have self-inflicted sicknesses. It's one thing if God chooses something for us and we embrace it. It's another thing if it's simply a result of our poor choices. There's food that are known to cause cancer, and we eat them by the thousands in America. They're known to cause cancer. Things that are known to cause cancer. That's a that's reaping and sowing, okay? We need to get to the source. In this book, and Never Be Sick Again, Raymond Francis, and I don't agree with everything in this book, but he is seeking to get to the source. He says this, modern medicine believes that thousands of diseases exist. each with different causes and treatments. This belief has led to a system of medicine so complex and baffling that physicians resort to protocols that merely suppress the symptoms. By suppressing symptoms rather than addressing causes, diseases remain chronic. He suggests there's only one disease, when your body doesn't function correctly. In other words, treat the source, not the symptom. He calls it malfunctioning cells. When cells malfunction, the body is no longer able to maintain balance. He states that there are only two causes of diseases, and this is so helpful. Check this out. Two categories: deficiency, toxicity. Now, if all you get from there, ask yourself, when a fundamental health issue, does this encourage toxicity? You should stay away from it. And this, does this help meet my needs for what my body needs? Deficiency. When our body is deficient, it can't function as God created, and it breaks down. When our body is exposed to prolonged toxins that it can't rid itself of, the body breaks down. Deficiency and toxicity. Deficiency, not giving your body what it needs. Toxicity, exposing your body to things it does not need, things that are harmful. So preventing the two causes of disease is made possible by our ability to choose how we live our lives, wisdom or folly. These choices can fall into many categories. Okay, some things are within our control, some are without our control. But let's look at six categories briefly. Nutrition, toxicity, spiritual, which he calls psychological, physical, genetic, and medical. I'm going to use this as a brief outline and run through these, because these are the pathways to both deficiency and toxicity. The first one, nutritional. Okay, nutritional. Deficiency or toxicity. Okay, nutrient loss is America's number one cause of disease. It is malnutrition. Americans are the most malnourished people who have a full stomach. To illustrate this, several years ago, there was a severe winter in much of Arizona. And many of the antelope were in danger of starvation. So they dropped large amounts of hay for them to eat. But it was too late. They found large herds dead with their stomachs full. Their body couldn't assimilate the nutrients. It was too late. They were starving for lack of nutrients. Many of Americans are in that situation. Their bodies are starving for nutrients. And as they go into deficiency, they have all kinds of symptoms. Their body system breaks down. It could be diabetes. Their feet could be burning. They could have skin diseases and rashes and all kinds of symptoms from one degree to the next, and all filling matters of the spectrum. And we look at all these diseases and we categorize each disease and we try to treat each disease on a symptomatic level instead of saying, hey, your body is not functioning because you're not giving your body what it needs. We are overfed and malnourished. And this is primary diet issue. Get this. You need to hear this. This is amazing. Most diseases start where? Where do most diseases start? That's right. Most diseases start in the gut. Immune health begins in the gut. 90% of our body's immune function is in your gut. 90%. And it makes sense. It's the door to the outside, right? It's how the outside gets inside you. So there must be the protection there. The guards are set up there. 90% of your body's immune function is in your gut. Therefore, to affect your body's immune system, what do you need to do? Give your body what it needs. Deficiency. We need nutrition, and we need to remove toxicity. Okay, let's talk about toxins. These are various harmful substances that adversely affect your body, and our world is full of them. Many of them we can't do anything about. From the air we breathe to the water we drink. Thankfully, God has made our bodies to consistently detoxify. But this takes vital building blocks of good nutrition to break down and remove these various toxins. Prolonged exposure to various toxins and deficiency together create a dangerous situation where your body experiences toxic overload. That is, the body is no longer able to detoxify. When the body hits toxic overload, it starts sending all kinds of messages to signal that there's trouble. We call these signals symptoms. Autoimmune, rashes, stomach issues, hypoactivity. We need wisdom to treat the source, not the symptom. When one of my sons was 7 years old, he had a heavy toxic overload. He was in so much pain. He had arthritic pain, so much pain, he could hardly walk. When that happened to my son, it kicked my wife and I, our research up into high gear. We had to find answers. We went to doctor after doctor. Really, we couldn't find any answers. We had to get to the source. And as we got to the source, as we got closer to the source, we did allergy tests. We were doing all this stuff that is suggested. But when we got on the gut, when we treated the gut, and for us, we chose the GAPS diet. We did all kinds of candida diet, all kinds of diets, but it was the GAPS diet. For now, it's not for everybody. It's a specific healing plan diet. There's reasons why you do it, but it helped our family because it helped realign the gut. Now, are we perfect? No, but it helped. And today, my son can run without pain. Is he completely healed? I wouldn't say he's completely out of the woods. We still have to keep an eye on it, but he is 95% better. Why? Nutrition. Toxins, gut, immune function. Got it? Okay, here's the next one, spiritual. Raymond Francis says, the psychological pathway may turn out to be the most important pathway of all. Our thoughts and emotion trigger a cascade of biochemical reactions that either enhance or damage life, health. We know Proverbs 4. For from it flows the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issue of life. Health. Spiritual is key. Anxiety destroys the body. Stress really destroys the body. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. The biblical worldview. Trust God. God is good for your body. Obedience to God is good for your body. Marriage is good for your body. Okay? Honor is good for your body. Fear God. It's the blessing to your soul and your body. Number four, let's talk about physical. The pathway of deficiency and toxicity. Physical. When we leave an indoor sedentary lifestyle, it's detrimental to health. God made us to work, to be active, to move, to be outside. He also made us to sleep and to rest. Our indoor life is full of other potential harmful as well. The EMFs, some electromagnetic fields, hair dryers, cordless phones, cell phones, living near cell towers, all these things, you know, in and of themselves, okay, your body can move and take care of that. But when you're cascaded in a soup of these things. So here's the deal. I don't believe we just, you know, we run away from the modern world. Oh no, there's all these scary things. No, we live in the modern world, but we use wisdom, and where we are able to, we seek to diminish these things. Okay, so here's an example. Turn your Wi-Fi off at night. Okay? If you have to use Wi-Fi, you can't use a cord, turn it off at night. Don't put your Wi-Fi under your bed. There's wisdom things that can be done like that. You just have to have some wisdom and thinking through how our bodies are made to function and what brings health to our bodies. Genetics. Now, genetics is exciting. I mean, it's discouraging because we get some genetics from that are kind of harmful and genetic mutations are very serious. But the whole field of epigenetics is fantastic. Epigenetics teaches that when we give our body what it needs to heal, our genes can be restored. That's phenomenal. There is multi-generational blessing to those who have wisdom for health by the grace of God. God is a multi-generational God, and He made this to help. On the other hand, if we wreck our health today, the junk food you eat today can affect up to four generations. So people can, oh, I don't need that stuff, and they're fine. They may be, but look at their offspring, look at their offspring, look at their offspring. Studies have been done to show this with exact precision and backing up exactly everything I'm saying. Do the research. In Renee DeGroat, in her book, Health for Godly Generations, she begins with these words, this story. Rising in the morning, a family breakfast on the most popular, most convenient foods, filling themselves up with little contemplation. 30 years later, the parents and children are riddled with diseases, have less ability to perform their work, and wonder how this ever happened. 60 years previous, their grandparents ate whole foods of nature and thrived, but never put these practices into words or passed them down. And Renee DeGroat's book, Health for Godly Generations, she puts some of these practices into words. We must put this into words so that we can pass the wisdom on. Okay, the final pathway to deficiency and toxicity is medicine. Medicine. Modern man makes synthetic medicine. Question, does your body need medicine to help its body, help the body? Let me ask, does medicine add needed nutrition to the body? That's a better way to say it, sorry. Does medicine add needed nutrition to help the body? And the answer is, synthetic man-made drugs do not add nutritional benefit to the body. Okay? Now, does that mean you should never use them? No. I'm not saying you should never use them, okay? But you need to balance that with wisdom and understand this. Has anyone ever had a Ritalin deficiency? You know, could the hyperactivity be caused by other things, spiritual or physical? And the answer is yes, of course. Not a Ritalin deficiency, not a amoxicillin deficiency, not a Tylenol deficiency. Does medicine add toxicity to the body? And the answer is yes. Ritalin has been proven to cause depression. Amoxicillin kills both good and bad bacteria, and it leaves the gut severely compromised and weakens immune function. Antibiotics, by the way, kill, you know, both good and bad, but there's one that antibiotics don't kill much of, and that would be candida. Many of you struggle with candida overgrowth, and that's why. It's because of all of the antibiotics. Doesn't kill candida. So it whacks the system out. So we need to be wise. Now, does that mean you should never? You need to have wisdom. Do the research. Tylenol taken at the wrong time of pregnancy can cause a boy to go sterile for life. There are consequences that are very negative. Medicine is a cause of toxicity, is what I'm getting at. Just listen to the various advertisements for medicine. Listen to all the side effects. Da, 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 da. It's astounding. Now, it doesn't mean we should never use medicine, but we do need to have understanding of what we're doing so we can avoid the potential harmful aspects of modern medicine while still reaping the benefits of modern technology and with wisdom and discernment. There are times that we use these things. And so... Hear what I'm saying, and again, you have to make the specifics. I'm just trying to encourage you to have wisdom. You often don't hear this side of the story. This side of the story. So, as we go through this, this is where the rubber meets the road, okay? And this would be true wisdom. True wisdom is what you use. This is where we need to walk this out. As we walk this out, I want you to know that my family has been blessed immensely as we've sought to apply these wisdom principles. I mean, diarrhea is almost non-existent. So many symptoms have been resolved, and we're very thankful. My wife has more energy today with 9 children than she did when I first met her. I mean, that's amazing. And that's because of the wisdom that God led us to follow. So we talk about these principles. Let's review briefly. You know, God grants life. He's sovereign in this. Faith and trust are in Him, not man. But God gives wisdom. It's your responsibility to gain that wisdom and then discern that wisdom through principles. God's wisdom is always good. And discerning principle number 1, work with God's design, not against it. Discerning principle number 2, treat the source, not the symptom. Remember, don't forget the gut. 90% of immune function is in the gut. We're going to close this final section with trust wisdom. Ask the right questions and seek answers that relate to those questions. Okay? We have to properly diagnose the problem. So as we began this journey, we found there are different kinds of doctors, right? There are doctors that are in the system and they just stay in the system and they spit out what the system is. What we need is, and what's happening is, there's a new generation of doctors who are advancing the practice of health and stewardship, and they're going on for further education. For example, the whole functional medicine doctors. These are medical doctors who say, you know what, I'm not helping my patients, and they go on for a more integrative approach to these things. And there's this, you know, there's different strains of putting these pieces together and using herbs and natural remedies that God uses. And you have to be careful, because just because someone calls themselves a naturopath person doesn't mean everything they're saying is in accordance with wisdom. And so you, again, there's no substitute. We want to understand and gain from the wisdom of doctors, right? Especially doctors that are researching independent of the current system. But we also need to be in the driver's seat and understanding what they're saying and seeking the Lord and doing the research ourselves. I can't emphasize that more. So we definitely need an educational reformation. And this is going to be hard because we've all been programmed to go to the professionals. Our education system has been established to keep everyone in their own box. The masses get their manual labor box, the skilled labor blue collar work box. Everyone has their own box. We have this professional class that this is whether, and we seek to say, you know what? Some people are really smart, but the professional classes doesn't mean they have a monopoly on truth. It would be like me as a pastor. Am I the only one who can interpret the Bible? Absolutely not. What if I had the audacity to say, I'm the only one here that can interpret the scripture as a pastor? You really shouldn't be doing that. But how many doctors will say, well, you don't know anything about health. Okay. It's the same carryover, and some of it can get touch on pride. Now, I would say that I've studied the Bible a lot, and you know, it's worth listening to me. And I think doctors who've studied a lot of good, solid nutrition a lot, and principles, and medicine, I think we should listen to them, okay? But it doesn't mean they're the only ones that can do that. Now, interesting story. I was back in Pennsylvania, where I'm from. And I was in York, Pennsylvania. I was visiting an old apothecary. You know what apothecary is? It's an old word for a pharmacy. And that apothecary, it was a museum set up. It was full of helpful herbs and herbal tinctures. Like, wow, look at this. Cumin and garlic and all these herbs. And this was a pharmacy. In Old Town Alexandria, there's a preserved apothecary. And you can visit it today. And this is like in the 1920s. And I asked myself, what happened? Go to a drugstore today. What do you see? You don't see that. You don't see all these natural remedies. Well, I dug around and did a little research, the doctor, again, another doctor, Dr. Rath Health Foundation says this. And here's an interesting history of the pharmaceutical company. Let's go back to 1911, May 15th, the Supreme Court of the United States finds John Rockefeller and his trust guilty of corruption, illegal business practicing, and racketeering. Okay? So what he did, he had another plan to move these around. In 1913, in order to disperse public and political pressure on him, he used a trick called philanthropy, whereby the illegal gains from his oil businesses were used to launch the Rockefeller Foundation. This tax haven was used to strategically take over the healthcare sector in the U.S. The Rockefeller Foundation was the front organization for a new global business venture of Rockefeller and his accomplices. This new venture was called the pharmaceutical investment business. Donations from the Rockefeller Foundation went only to medical schools and hospitals. These institutions had become missionaries for a new breed of companies, the manufacturers of patented synthetic drugs. Let me say that again. Patented synthetic drugs. Drug companies fund the schools. Drug companies that fund the schools are teaching the doctors how to use their patented synthetic drugs. These drug companies then conduct the research proving the veracity of their drugs. Do you think there could be a conflict of interest? Okay, back to the history. This also was a time when various vitamins and nutrients at a molecular level were being discovered. It soon became clear that the natural life-saving health benefits that is naturally occurring within food that were able to prevent many chronic health conditions. Okay, they were very effective. These doctors back then were very effective. These newly developed practices had one disadvantage. They were not patented. You couldn't patent. You can't patent garlic. So the natural doctors, these natural doctors were effectively treating a variety of diseases with herbs. And that's hence the apothecary that I saw. It explains that. Thus, in its first year of existence, the Rockefeller pharmaceutical company, the pharmaceutical investment business already faced a mortal threat. Vitamins and natural health healing programs that would prohibit the development of any sizable investment business based on patented drugs. The elimination of this unwanted competition from natural sources therefore became a question of life and death for the pharmaceutical business. Okay, 1918. The Rockefeller Foundation uses the Spanish flu epidemic, the media that was already controlled by this time to start a witch hunt for all forms of medicine that were not covered by its patients, by its system. Within the next 15 years, get this, all medical schools in the U.S., most hospitals, and the American Medical Association all earnestly became pawns in the chessboard of Rockefeller's strategy to subjugate the entire healthcare sector under the monopoly of his pharmaceutical investment business. Disguised as Mother Teresa, the Rockefeller Foundation was also used to conquer foreign countries and entire continents for the pharmaceutical investment business, just as Rockefeller himself had done a few decades previously. That's the context. What about today? Is drug company money tainting medical education? And absolutely. Get this. Today, this is from Time Magazine, 2009, March 6th issue. Of Harvard's 8,900 professors and lecturers, 1,600 admit that either they or a family member have had some kind of business link to drug companies, sometimes worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Get this. Additionally, pharma contributes to more than $11.5 million to the school last year for research and continuing education classes alone. That's Harvard alone! Do you think $11.5 million to the school for research and continuing education would have an influence on how the doctors are being educated and how they think about pharmaceuticals versus working with God's design in unpatented remedies that have worked for thousands and thousands of years? I think it would. It's a bribe. Proverbs 17:23, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. Should you go to a bribe-run system and ask them to give you medical advice? That's a question we have to ask. Proverbs 15:27. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The bribes. Now, many good doctors, they want to learn. They go to these schools, and they're taught from the pharmaceutical companies. They're in a sense, brainwashed. They're very brilliant men, but they're given only part of the story. They're given great information as it relates to certain things, but they lack the wisdom to see the big picture, the biblical worldview. Here is my point. You may consult your doctor to get his professional opinion, but you better do your own research. This is why, I hope you can see this brief history, you know, study it out. There are so many sources that I could quote to back this up. Go online, get the books, do the research, okay? It's in the source documents. My point, though, is this. We need an education reformation as it relates to health. We need to encourage and support the growing number of courageous doctors who are willing to step outside the box of their own education and challenge the system and help people. Doctors that have said, you know what? I'm tired of just being a pill pusher. I want to actually help people. And they're asking those questions. We need to actually look at the statistics and try to get the wisdom and apply wisdom principles here. You know, if something is synthetic versus God-made, which is going to be better for you? You know, how do you not get the flu? You know, think about it. There's no responsibility to go get a shot. The best way not to get the flu is to not eat sugar. White refined sugar crashes your immune system, right? White refined sugar is why it makes people fat. It gets you addicted to all these foods and all these dyes and all these, they're poisons. I mean, it's common sense. Should we be eating poison? No. Right? Well, why do we? Well, I know. And again, I understand the background, the culture, and the feelings that are associated. But you know what? Good health, good stewardship of our bodies is more important. We need to think principally. We need to think about principles. I'm not saying you have to eat one certain way. I'm saying you need to have principles that guide everything. I believe all of Scripture to all of life. That is, everything you do should be based on the Word of God and should be based on a biblical worldview, biblical principles. Okay? Now, as we do this, we always have to keep this in perspective, because there's different ways to fall off the fence here. Health and good stewardship is important, but it does pale in comparison to the gospel and the kingdom of God. Okay? There will always be those who disagree with me on some or many of the points of this talk. I want you to know, as Christians, we have liberty regarding how we apply these various wisdom applications and even the principles of themselves. You know, if you think you should go at your diseases with hurting the, trying to kill the disease and you can handle hurting the body, I mean, you have to make that decision for yourself before God. These are liberty issues, okay? Between brothers, we are free to discuss them. And that's the tone, that's the heart I'm coming at with this talk, okay? I hope that's coming through. I want to encourage you to do the research, to take principles, to think about this. And, you know, it's, in one hand, health is very important. Like, without it, you're dead, right? On the other hand, Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things that make for peace and the things by which we may edify another. My prayer is that I would edify you, encourage you. I tell you, my family has benefited 100 times over from these principles. And I've seen many people, I've seen my wife help many women and men who have had some serious problems. They go to their doctor. The doctor has a pill that treats the symptom. We find a solution that's a natural occurring solution to help them. I've seen people that have had chronic disease problems alleviate their disease and their problems within months. I've seen it over and over again. So the idea of trusting wisdom, I'm to the point where my wife and I have the confidence to trust the wisdom that we've gained. And that's a blessed place to be. You will know them by their fruits. Okay. Just keep it in perspective. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. The gospel is more important than these health principles. The gospel is more important. It profits a little in the temporal world. But never do I want to make this an issue of contention. Now, just because you disagree with me, you may lack some wisdom, and I'm going to encourage you to do that. But my heart is to encourage you in wisdom in securing a better temporal health steward perspective that would gain and build health for your family generationally, multi-generational, until the Lord should return. There has never been a better time for you to begin this journey than right now. Have fun with this. You know, my wife and I, we enjoy this. It's a fun discussion that we talk about. We enjoy trying to gain more wisdom in everything, and we don't leave the stewardship of our bodies out of that equation. And for us, it's a joyful thing. I trust it is for you. I trust that this time has been profitable for you, and that the Lord would bless you in your journey. Lord, I just thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray, Lord, that this goes across with a heart to help encourage people to seek wisdom, applications, and principles, and to lean not in their own understanding, but that you guide and direct us. Father, we do pray for a education, revival, reformation in relation to health. Our country is in great danger with what's going on in the socialized medicine and all the things. We are going to have to face these issues. You give us these tools. Lord, I pray for many bright men and women that will study and take the ball further than I'll ever be able to in this area. I pray that you just use these principles and your word to convict and to encourage others to do the same. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.